Good evening. Shall we turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. The Gospel of John, chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, that's the Sea of Galilee, and on this wise he showed himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but that disciple knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt him his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to a land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he saith unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. May the Lord bless his word to us. As most of you know, I was born in the land of Palestine, in the culture and habits that spanned the centuries, and indeed the culture that flourished during the times of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on earth. Certain matters in that culture have not changed at all over time, and old habits seldom change, rather they are carried from generation to generation. One of the things coming from the old country teaches you the difference cultures make. When you read a passage like the one we just read, with so many abnormal behaviors in the world today, if someone in this country comes to me and kisses me, a man comes to me and kisses me, I would be annoyed and disturbed. In the Middle East, culture that is noble and respectful, just the opposite. And sometimes confusing, because you shake the hands of ladies in the church and you kiss the men. And people say to the pastor, "I love you," and they truly mean it. I am saying that to you because in our text this evening, we read a statement where the Lord Jesus asked him, "Simon, do you love me?" Whereas in the culture of the New Testament, it is a friendship statement and a fellowship statement. Relationships still matter a lot, and in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ, it matters a whole great deal. So when you hear the question tonight from Jesus, "Do you love me?" don't think sort of about fainting into someone's arms and your heart start beating with passion. This is as about deep a relationship and commitment to somebody that matters to you. And it matters most when it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is about this that I want to speak to you tonight, this evening, and what it means to have your love for Jesus Christ renewed, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ restored when you have lost it. You know the story of Peter. Faced with the actual crisis of standing with the Lord Jesus Christ on the night of his arrest before his crucifixion, Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times and even blasphemed and asked the judgment of God to come upon him. It was a dreadful thing that he had done. And all the time, listen to this, and all the time, the Lord Jesus Christ was watching him. Can you imagine that? All the time he was denying the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord is watching him. A man who messed up it so suddenly and completely, a man who walked with the Lord Jesus Christ for a whole 3 years, and beheld his love, his compassion, and his mighty deeds, yet in a short moment, in split second, he turned upside down, 180 degrees, as if he has never known him at all. Down deep in his heart, Peter saw the depth of his own failure. He realized that he had just done the very thing that Jesus had foretold him, that the cock will crow 3 times and you will deny me twice, you will deny me thrice. And then it is the one thing that Peter had insisted that he would never ever do. He had disowned his beloved master. Peter's story is real. It is personal. Peter is you. Peter is me. Peter is us. Question: have you failed God? Have I failed God? If we did, we know it. If we have been led by the devil into situations where we have messed up badly, we know it. As Christians, we are not perfect. We make mistakes, we mess up. That is understandable in a way, because we live in a messed up world where there are abundance of pleasures and attractions that occupy us. These become prime in our lives and distract us from our walk with God. We all sin. I sin, you sin, the prophets of old sinned, preachers sin. This is the reality of this complicated life we live in today. You may say that such a thing would never happen to you. Well, what about you and me tonight? If we, like Peter, are faced with the threat of death as Christians, Would we deny our Lord in order to save our lives? Do we value our lives more than our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and eternity with him? Where do we stand as the redeemed of God and his elect? Will we behave like Peter? I wonder. The Pharisees sought to kill him. ISIS, and you all have heard of ISIS, ISIS seeks to convert you to Islam or die. What will you do? Will you be as Peter and renounce Christ and live? We all know that ISIS have carried out their threats against our brothers and sisters in the Lord and murdered them mercilessly for not renouncing the Lord Jesus Christ. The news media is loaded with their barbaric atrocities. We all heard and saw video footages of their barbaric actions, such as it all started by seeing 21 Coptic Christians. These are the Christians from Egypt. They were marched out on the seashore of Libya and were viciously beheaded for refusing to deny Christ, and that was a scene that went all over the world in a moment. A Christian man refuses to deny Christ as ISIS fanatics hanged him and tortured him with driving nails into his body. Four little innocent children in Iraq were beheaded after they refused to convert to Islam. There is a park in London called Hyde Park, with a famous corner known as Speaker's Corner. It is located opposite to the Golden Arch Monument in central London. If you ask where is the Golden Arch, the best way to find it is to go to McDonald's restaurant. It is exactly opposite to McDonald's. So if you go to that, you will find the Speaker's Corner, and you'll find it extremely busy with people, and everybody, has something to say. In the past, even Karl Marx went to that Speaker's Corner and spoke his philosophy of life and politics. And on that Speaker's Corner, open-air public speaking and discussions are allowed. At that corner, anybody can stand there and say anything they wish. How would you and I react if we are listening there to atheists, agnostics, Christian haters, blaspheming our Lord Jesus Christ and his name? Would we have the courage to stand up and confront them and declare the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and his son that went to the cross of Calvary? Would we have the courage to do so? I wonder. Question: have you dug a hole for yourself that you cannot climb out of it? Well, you may know that outside the eastern wall of Jerusalem, facing the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane, there runs a valley known as Kidron Valley. Kidron Valley is basically a burial place. In Kidron Valley, you see so many rocks, monuments of the people buried there and so forth. These are the elite of the time, of thousands of years. But as the valley, Kidron Valley, winds down southward and then westward, It joins another valley known as the Valley of Hinnom. The Valley of Hinnom is the garbage dump of Jerusalem at that time. But today, it is a park. It's a beautiful park. You can go and take beautiful strolls over there, and you can see even a band of musicians playing music and so forth. It's a lovely area. But during the times of Christ and before, it was the Valley of Hinnom, and it was a burial place and a cremation place, because any commoner and any criminal that has been executed, they have been dumped into that valley. And the valley, the trash, was constantly burning. They do not want the bodies to decompose and rot. So they kept it burning day in, day out, day after day, year after year, and so on. So the valley of Hinnom was a symbol of hell, where the fire was never extinguished. Now, a sidetrack here. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified as a criminal. If it were not for divine intervention and the prophecies of old that he will make his abode with the rich in his death, if it were not for God's interference and for Joseph of Arimathea to ask for his body to put him in his sepulchre, then the body of the Lord Jesus Christ would have been thrown into that valley of Hinnom to burn like the criminals and disappear. But that's God's intervention. Everything was done meticulously to the minutest detail. When God says something, it will be done. I wonder whether for us tonight, some of us who are fearful, rejected, and failed miserably, that valley is a picture of where we would be left by our brothers and sisters in the church or outside the church, in a hole too deep to climb out of. I wonder if you messed up your Christian life and dug a hole for yourself and now you cannot get out of it. If you did, know this: you are not alone. Well, that's what Peter did. But it was not a hole too deep for God. Jacob deceived his father for the blessing of the birthright. It was not too deep for God. Joseph could not help dreaming what he dreamt when he saw the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowing down before him, which caused his father Jacob to rebuke him. It wasn't too deep for God. Moses committed murder when he beat the Egyptian to death. It wasn't too deep for God. David's sin with Bathsheba and the arrangement he made to get rid of her husband, Uriah the Hittite, it wasn't too deep for God. No hole could have been dug deeper than the one Peter dug for himself that night of cursing and lying that he ever knew the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you tonight, God is a prodigal God. And by that I mean that he bestows his gift lavishly to us. God is a God of the most enormous grace and compassion and forgiveness that you and I could ever imagine. His grace is much greater than all our sins. So whatever you are in tonight, it is not too deep for God. In fact, we can learn certain things tonight from the story of Peter. The first thing we learn is that the Gospels record Peter had made bold statements while he was with the Lord Jesus Christ during 3 years, only to fall short in the moment of truth. He declared, saying, "Lord, to whom shall we go? And the words of life are with thee." Then again he said, "Though all men shall offend thee because shall be offended because of thee, yet I will not be offended." And again he said, "I will lay down my life for thy sake." Peter was sincere when he said these, but he did not know his own weakness. It was a decisive moment for Peter, who on 3 distinct occasions denied the Lord Jesus Christ, that he ever knew him. The story of Peter could have ended there, Honestly, it could have ended there. But previously I said, and the Lord was watching him. It could have ended in the courtyard there if it not were for the Lord Jesus Christ's determination to bring him back to himself, to restore him. And here is in our text, Jesus confronted Peter and called him back to himself. Sometimes there are no words of what is going in our lives. We may be critical of Peter's failure, but in our heart of hearts, we know how often we have done the very same thing. Peter had to be broken. He knew it was wrong in denying the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you tonight, there is rebellion in disobedience. We may look religious, but down deep in our hearts we may be indifferent to spiritual matters. We can attend church regularly, read the Bible, pray, listen to sermons, and put on a good face. But we know there is something within us holding us back from true fellowship with God. We consistently fall short of our best intentions. We have all but someone in the church, we hurt someone in the church, or maybe outside the church, intentionally or accidentally. But the hurt, the pain, the disappointment is the same, and the years never dull the pain. God is calling us to put an end to a life of pretense where we act like good Christians when we know otherwise within our hearts. But there comes a moment when you and I realize that we have messed up our lives to such an extent that we have to be broken down like Peter before God. And that is what happened to Peter. He broke down and he wept bitterly. Is that what is keeping you and me from God? We need to come to the place where Peter came to. It must end. It must end. We have to allow God to speak to us down and open our hearts anew to him. The good news today is this. The Lord Jesus is calling you and me over to himself by the charcoal fire. He is restoring us to himself. No matter how many times we have fallen, there is no hole too deep for God. He will bless whatever he is calling you and me to do. In his name, in church, at home, at work, in the family, and in our community. Whatever he calls us to do, he will bless it. God wanted to do something, and not only to Peter, but to every messed up life. After the day of resurrection, the Lord sought out Peter in order to bring him back to himself, and he restored Peter. That is the beauty of the prodigal son, isn't it? God is always watching the horizon, waiting for failed people to turn around and come home. And the prodigal son came home to his father, and we should come home to our heavenly Father. I want you to believe that tonight. Well, it was 2 weeks after the Lord rose from the dead. He told, as we are told in our text, the beginning of our text, that he appeared to his disciples, this time not in Jerusalem, but on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Peter returned to his old fishing trade after the Lord was crucified and buried and rose again and so forth. Peter forsook everything, all his 3 years of walking with God, and went back to his old trade, being a fisherman. That's what he knows best, so by fishing he can make a living and continue alive as long as he can. Peter returned to his old fishing trade to forget the past and to seek out a living, doing what he is comfortable with. But his failure stood loomed over him, The denial of Jesus plagued him. He couldn't shake the thought off his mind. The disciples were fishing, as we are told in our text, and they did not catch any fish. Suddenly, a voice calls them from the shore, saying, "Children, have you caught any fish?" And when they said no, Jesus tells them, "Throw the nets to the right side of the boat and you will catch." And they did so, and the catch was tremendous, was a great catch. Does this sound familiar? Does this remind Peter of what he had heard this on a previous occasion? Who told him to do this same thing almost 3 years ago when he was fishing? And they'd put the net on the other side of the boat, and they caught such a great catch of fish that the nets had to break. That was in Luke 15, you know, when the Christ called him to himself. So Peter remembered, and Peter realized. This is a remarkable symbol of the way God works, because something happens when we lose touch with God. It is a strange thing, but we forget what it is going to be, what it is like to be a Christian, to live a Christian life, to behave as if we have never, and sometimes we behave as if we have never been Christians. I sometimes do that. I don't know about you, but I believe that probably most of us do that from time to time. And we forget the most basic lessons of the Christian life by developing a prayer life and have to read the Bible profitably. It is though we lose everything we did in walking with God, and we somehow disregard him from time to time. And sometimes God has to take us back to the beginning, back to the moment when we were converted. And we have to learn the Christian disciplines once again. You say, "This is crazy. Do I have to go and learn it again?" and so forth. Yes, you do. Yes, I do. We have to find to learn discipleship. But you see, we have lost everything. We have to find it again, and to find it with God. And I think that Jesus, in a way, is doing that with Peter. He is taking Peter back to the very day he said to him, "Come, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. Come and be one of my disciples." But here is a strange thing. It can never be the same again. If you messed up, if you lost sight of God, if you lost the wonderful Christian experience, and now it is a faint memory of the past, it can never be the same, but I tell you, it will be better. Jesus did it. Jesus took Peter back to himself, to the moment of his failure, but he did it better than the first time. God can do for you and for me tonight the same thing. Whatever you lost, God can give you something better than you had ever had before. And then there is an interesting thing about this. Christ took Peter to the moment of his failure when he sat by the charcoal fire in the courtyard of Caiaphas' courtyard and denied the Lord three times. And here Peter and Jesus are for the first time starting together again. And where are they standing? On the seashore at a charcoal fire. Three questions and three answers. The Lord asked Peter three questions, and he felt embarrassed. Why is he asking me three questions? Remembering how dreadful he had failed the Lord Jesus. And three times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And then finally Peter said, "You know my heart. I do love you, Lord. And I do love you." So you know it is, "You know my heart. I do love you." So what is happening here? God, in a sense, is performing a surgery. You may find that this is strange. A surgery. Yes, it's a surgery. A cancer has to be cut out. And what is that cancer? It is Peter's soul. It is Peter's soul. And Jesus takes a knife to him as mercifully as he can. And sometimes that's hard to start again. We know the pain that we face. We know the shame that we feel. We know the pretense that must be dropped. We know the humility that we've got to bear. And we don't bear the things that we need to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. With the pain we will bear for ourselves, we take. But the pain that we want for our Lord Jesus Christ, we usually shrink out of. So the Lord Jesus retraces the past of Peter, takes Peter back to his conversion and then to the failure and the fireside. And Peter knows in his own heart that he has renounced his sin and that Jesus has allowed him to reverse his judgment again and say, Jesus, I am sorry. I did that. I do love you. I do love you. I truly love you. The important thing in this passage is the spiritual psychology of it. It was the healing knife that Jesus brought to Peter's soul. That is what matters most. The second thing that we have learned from the story is that he restored Peter's usefulness. Did you get that? He failed. He brought him back to conversion, and now he said, I love you, Lord. So now that you love me, I'm restoring you to your usefulness. In the past, he told him, I want you to make you a fisher of men. You forgot that. Now this is your usefulness. Because once he said, do you love me? And Peter said, yes. What did Jesus say to him? He said to this broken man, Peter, feed my sheep. That is what you are called to do. That's what Peter threw away in a moment of crazy judgment at the charcoal fire. But Jesus is not going to throw you away anymore. Feed my sheep. That is what I called you to do. That is what I made you to do. And coming to do it with your failure included. I don't believe that we can sin ourselves out of our usefulness to God. So Jesus restores Peter's usefulness and leads him into his future. Do you think that you have lost that? Maybe you feel sorry, but you didn't make a mess of your life. Maybe you can crawl back. If you do, that's a good advice. If you know, realize yourself that you are getting away from God little by little, and down in your heart you felt, oh, what's happening to me? You want to reverse your action, crawl back. That is a good advice, to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. The prodigal son did that, didn't he? He came to his father and he said, I am not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. What did the father do? He didn't say, okay, I will make you a servant. No, he didn't do that. He celebrated the homecoming of a fool. So what if the faithful son was indignant? And that's what God wants you to do for you and me tonight. He wants to restore you and me not only to his presence, but to his purposes as well. Peter, however, had a price to pay. And the Lord told him that he will be crucified. Wow. In the moment of his arrest, he broke down at that point. He couldn't face the possibility of dying with the Lord Jesus Christ. So what did Jesus do? Jesus frankly looked Peter in the eye and said, Peter, you are going to be crucified. That's your future. That is what it means to come back and follow me and serve me. you ran from it, I'm going to tell you, you cannot run anymore. That's your future. It's going to hang over you for the rest of your life. It's what you did, I'm restoring you, but you have been, it have been easier in, had it been the other way. Could you imagine living without him day by day? You ran from him, you denied Jesus restored you to his future. The thing you ran from is the thing that is going to happen to you. I'll be there every day for the rest of your life. It's a depressing thought to tell him that he would be crucified. But then the Bible tells us in 1 Peter that Peter said of the Christian life, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So he got his lesson and he obeyed Christ and he said, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't it amazing some spiritual change overcame him whereby the very thing that once took his faith to the core was now absorbed and became not a point of weakness but a point of strength. I believe that's what God does for failure. In fact, the greater the failure, the greater that is true. And history tells us that Peter was crucified upside down in the year 67 AD. If we can stand up and say, this is what happened, I cannot deny it. But God is gracious and God can restore the most broken life on earth. And I was broken. I'm sure many of you were broken. God can restore the most broken life on earth, and we are a living proof of it. What a wonderful testimony what Peter was able to give. I'm able to say to you tonight, you and I cannot escape what we have done. What we have done, we have done. But what we have done can become part of our future service and the mark of our cross, so to speak. The stigma that falls on our souls could be great testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. In a summary of Peter's life, we can say that the Lord Jesus took Peter back, brought him home, made him face reality, and face his future, and brought him to his conversion. Then the Lord Jesus called him back into Christian service and told him that the end will be crucifixion. That is the story of Peter. So that he says to Peter then, you know the story now, and you know it all. Finally, in our passage, the last words of Jesus to this broken mess was this, follow me. This is Jesus' last words to those who fail him. That is Jesus' last word to people who perhaps left him and somehow have backslidden and messed up their life. Maybe you did dig a deep hole, but you cannot get out of it. I tell you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the arms of love can reach even you and me. And Jesus said this word to you and to me tonight, follow me. It does not matter where you are. It does not matter how far behind you have fallen. This is my word to you, backslidden Christian, follow me. But Jesus Christ is standing there tonight with his arms open to you and to me. The prodigal God is watching the horizon, hoping, will we follow him? You know what the Lord Jesus said in the Gospels? He said, I will never turn anyone who comes. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You are a great God of wonders. All thy acts are godlike, divine. And you can restore the deepest sinner and bring him back to love, to your fold. We praise thee, Lord, for thy goodness to us. We praise thee for thy salvation that comes to us. You can break the hardest heart. You can restore the sinner's heart, and you can give him a new heart anew. We pray, O Lord, that you will search our hearts tonight and for us to crawl back or to surrender to you and to renew our lives once more to thy loving arms. We pray, O Lord, that you will bless each one of us tonight and that thy word will be glorified with us and we may glorify ye as we walk day by day. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.